Lauter nette Leute. Die Podcast-Talkshow. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zur 9. Folge von Lauter nette Leute. Diese Folge ist etwas Besonderes, weil ich zum ersten Mal eine Plauschpartnerin hatte, die mir nicht ihren Namen verraten hat. Wir haben trotzdem ein ziemlich tiefes und geladenes Gespräch geführt. Ihr werdet es eh gleich merken, das Thema, über das wir sprechen, das begleitet meine Plauschpartnerin schon eine ganze Weile. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß und wenn ihr Gedanken dazu habt, teilt sie gerne in den Kommentaren oder schreibt mir einfach direkt.
So, what are you doing here today in Vienna?
Today I work in Vienna.
Yeah.
So it's the end of my day now, so I'm just getting food for the family and I'm going home.
Right. What are you doing?
I work as a merchandiser.
Right, okay.
I'm working for a French company and we design and deliver jewellery to a company in Austria.
Okay.
And I'm responsible for the 7 stores in Austria.
Wow, okay. Is it like a brand that people should know?
Yeah, I don't really want to say.
that's absolutely fine.
But yes, it's the French company is actually not that well known.
Wait a second, I'll raise the microphone a little more so people can hear you.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, the actual French company I work for is not so well known. They're quite quiet and yeah. It's not easy to find out a lot about them.
Right.
However, the companies that we deliver jewellery to, they are well known.
Okay, okay. What made you happy today?
What made me happy today? Going home now, being finished early on a Friday.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But no, generally happy. There's not much not to be happy about, I think.
There's not much to...
You know, there's plenty to be unhappy about.
Right.
However, if you don't keep on constantly putting your head and your mind in that, then you can kind of switch off to a certain extent,
okay.
I think. And I think to a certain extent, people need to switch off to protect themselves. Otherwise, they'd go crazy.
How do you manage to switch off sometimes?
It's not easy. I tell you the biggest thing. Since I've lived in Vienna for 15 years.
Yeah.
But now I'm working back in the middle of Vienna. The thing that's hit me the most, and it's been very hard to switch off, is seeing homeless people.
Okay.
I have... bought lunch for so many people since I started working in Vienna that it got to the point that I had to stop because I was spending so much money buying homeless people lunch.
How do you do that? You pass by them and you...
I get approached. I get approached okay. very often.
Okay. How do you do that?
I don't know. It's just when I'm sitting outside having a coffee and a smoke.
Right.
I get approached a hell of a lot.
Ah, okay.
And I find that, to be honest, I find that I get approached more than Austrian people get approached.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
Probably because I'm a foreigner.
Okay.
I'm much more open to speaking to strangers, I find. Yep. This is, you know what I was saying at the beginning about I find Austrians quite shy.
Okay.
I had that experience when I first moved here.
Okay.
I worked in a store with over 500 people.
Yeah.
And I couldn't speak German then.
Yeah.
Nobody would speak to me.
Nobody.
Nobody. And most of the people, I would say 95% of the people who worked there were Austrian.
Yeah.
And you know who are the only people who tried to speak to me?
Hmm.
The Serbian cleaners.
Okay.
So I made friends with all of the Reinigungskraft before any Austrians.
Are you still friends with some
of them?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, really?
Oh, yes.
I love that. But do you think it's a language barrier or what is it?
No, I found out what it is. It's not a language barrier. What I got told after many years, because when I left this company
yeah.
and I used to go back and visit friends and I suddenly see my old colleagues are speaking English.
Right.
And I questioned how come you didn't make an effort when I arrived.
Okay.
And you knew I couldn't speak German. And although I did an intensive course and I learned very quickly because I had to.
Yeah.
What was with the first 7-8 months?
Okay.
You didn't speak to me or even make an attempt to speak to me. And they said, oh, because we're scared we might get the words wrong.
That and was... Okay.
Honestly, I was like, what kind of bullshit is that? I'm sorry. But what kind of bullshit is that? Because me learning, I'm constantly making mistakes. And believe me, I've made some really bad mistakes, not only grammatically, but with words. I don't care. You just get on with it and learn.
Yeah.
And all I kept on hearing is, oh, we're scared we're going to make a mistake. We're scared. I said, fuck off. Get over yourself. I'm sorry. Get over yourself.
So do you think the shyness has to do with being ashamed?
It's, you know what, it's feeling not competent enough, and that's very big for the Austrians.
Really?
They do not like to show if they are not sure of themselves, if they have an incompetency somewhere.
Right.
And that's through my experience that I've worked mainly with Austrians since I've lived here.
So you think they don't want others to see them as incompetent?
Yes.
Okay.
No, and it's not even an incompetence thing. Maybe they see it as a weakness, but it's not. It's learning. How else do you learn if you don't try something? And if you get it wrong, whatever, get on with it and try again.
When and how did you come to that conclusion for yourself, that it's not a weakness to not know something?
At a very young age.
Really?
Yeah.
Who taught you?
That's how I've been brought up by my parents. Why should it be a weakness if you don't know something?
Well, that's a gift from your parents, isn't it?
You know what? Honestly, I put it down to my religious upbringing.
Okay. Would you elaborate on that? I have no idea what that means.
I'm Sikh.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about the Sikh people. The ones who wear the turbans.
Right, okay.
And our religion is very much based on equality and acceptance.
Okay.
And my parents moved from East Africa to London in 1971.
Okay.
And they had to start whole life new. And I grew up seeing them receiving so much racism. It was a joke.
Okay.
We all got so much racism. But the one thing my mom and dad always said to me is, everyone's the same. Just accept them.
Even though they were confronted with hate and whatever.
Always. And that stuck with me, and it's true. And if somebody is rude, aggressive, or like I said, it's because they have a fear within themselves that they haven't dealt with, and they're putting their shit on other people. And that was one thing my mum and dad always made clear to me. Deal with your shit and don't put your shit on other people. If you feel that you cannot communicate, then learn how to communicate. But don't get angry at other people. Don't be rude. Don't be disrespectful.
Right.
Learn how to do what you cannot do.
And you said the Sikh religion somewhat played a role in that, right?
Yeah, because the basic foundations of my religion is about acceptance and equality, and that everyone's the same, and that you help where you can. You know, if I see, and that's another thing in Austria, there's been so many times I've seen an old person walking with heavy bags in my village,
right,
and I've offered to help carry them, and they freaked out. In England, it's normal. If you see somebody, a woman with a pram going down the stairs, it's normal just to carry the pram and help them down. If you see an old person struggling, it's normal to offer help.
Right.
It's so, so normal for us. And here, nah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I find that, and I've asked many Austrians, why is it?
Yeah.
Why is it you guys are not open to helping any strangers? And the reply is always, because they might want something from me.
Okay. So they don't help because they fear? Okay. Okay.
And so what if somebody wants something for you? More than likely, they just want to talk because they've got no one else to talk to. And talking's free, what a...
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. So, and this, you know, I love this country. I really do. It's been a struggle.
Yeah.
It's been a very big challenge. And I feel that I'm constantly having to create awareness.
Right.
No matter where I go. And a lot of it's to do with my skin colour.
Okay.
And making it clear to people, you don't need to be scared or threatened by me, but I am here to stay.
So you make the first step if you sense that somebody might be offended or feel a little awkward?
Not always, because that's their problem.
Yeah.
I'm tired of making the first step.
Yeah.
I'm tired of making other people comfortable to be around me. I shouldn't have to do that. That's their shit, not mine.
Right.
And I give you an example. I went to a comedy show in Vienna.
Right.
It was me and a friend of mine who's African.
Yeah.
And the comedian we were going to see was an African comedian.
Right.
So I phoned my friend up. I was like, yeah, let's go support the brother. Let's go watch him and his show. We went. It's a hall with about 200 people capacity.
Yeah.
All the other guests were white.
Okay.
The Austrian International. Yeah. And you know what? Me and my friend, we got in there quite early. We sat down, and the seats were in rows of four.
Right.
up until the very last people were brought in, and the Kellner even brought people in and said, hey, there's two seats here. Everyone looked at me and my friend, our black faces, and said no, and went and sat somewhere else. And you know what? The last two people to be brought in were two Somalian people. The waiter came along and said, there's two seats here. They said, oh, okay. And they sat next to us. And you know what? I got so fucking angry. I'm so tired of this kind of behavior that I stood up, I turned round, and I said to the whole audience, thank God these two people want to sit next to us, because none of these white faces are brave enough to sit next to us. You're here,
you did?
Yes, you're here to see a black man, but you don't want to sit next to a black person? Please. What kind of bullshit is that?
When was the reaction?
Shock.
Okay.
Shock. Absolute shock. And then, when the comedian came on, most of his show was for our row. There were jokes. He was from East Africa, from Tanzania. Right. Somalia and Tanzania right next to each other. They knew each other's villages. My friends from Namibia, we were all throwing jokes with each other. It's like the rest of the audience weren't there.
Right. But did the comedian
somewhat
recognize?
Yeah, yeah. And I just thought, are you serious? You guys, we've all just paid to see a black comedian. And out of all of your, 190 people?
Right.
None of you want to sit near the black people. But it's okay from a distance. And this is the other thing that Austrians don't like about me. I tell them the truth. And I don't give a shit. I do not give a shit.
Did somebody, approach you after the show?
No.
Nobody. Okay.
No.
Do you think that some of them might think of themselves after the show or talked about it?
Probably not. And if they do, it's not something they want to vocalize, because then it's real. And then they realize that their behavior was shit. I give you another example of the difference in cultures. In the UK, we are quite polite. That's the way we've been brought up. We hold the door open for each other. We say a lot of please, thank you. And as I'm working, I have these mobile towers with four sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to put the stock on these towers.
Right.
I would say 9 times out of 10, when I'm doing this and somebody comes along and they see me, they come along and they just start spinning the tower.
Okay.
It's an Austrian. And I have to say, Entschuldigung, aber nicht drehen bitte.
Yeah.
Ich gestalte das aus ins Moment. Nicht drehen bitte.
Yeah.
They don't even say, oh, can I please have a look? They see me. And they just start turning the tower. I'm sorry, that's just plain goddamn disrespectful. Am I invisible? I don't think so. And every time somebody has said to me, can I turn the tower? It's been usually a Turkish person or a foreigner.
Oh, okay.
But the Austrians, uh-uh.
Let me ask you have you had any experience with Austrian people that has been differently or turned out differently?
In what way do you mean? I'm married to one, by the way. And he's had a lot to learn.
How did you get to know him?
We were set up through mutual friends. He lived in Berlin at the time.
Right.
But his best friend lived in London, and I knew her.
Okay.
And she set us up together.
Okay. What did he have to learn?
He had to learn that many things. Different sides of racism, whether it's a quiet, unspoken racism.
Yeah.
Whether it's shitty, snidey comments.
Yeah.
Whether it's how I'm being looked at.
Yeah.
He had to start recognizing this behavior. And especially after we had kids.
Okay.
There's been instances with the kids where I've had to go to kindergarten and speak to the directorian and say, you either stop teaching these children this racist song from 1957 or I will go to the Rathaus and make an official complaint.
Okay.
And this woman had the cheek to say, we're singing about clothing colour. And I was like, okay, so that's why in the song you sang about chocolate brown Hautfarbe.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through the song, you guys got all the kids to pull their eyes and make ching chong ching chong.
Oh, come on. Come on.
So I basically gave her a warning. One more time, I go to the Rathaus. After that, I go to the press.
Right.
And my, at the time, my husband said to me, don't say nothing, don't say nothing. This is when we first moved here.
Okay.
And he was like, if you say something, they might make things difficult for you.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck that shit. I went and complained, and yes, not one of the teachers spoke to me ever again after that. And then you know what? After 2 years, we had so many Chinese kids in the kindergarten. So can you imagine? If I hadn't gone and complained, and they're doing this racist bullshit.
Yeah.
And I said to the directorian, I'm from an area in London where we have a very big Chinese community.
Right.
And when I take my son back to London and he starts pulling his eyes and making ching chong ching chong, I'm sorry, that kind of shit is not okay. No. It's racism.
It's not.
So
what year was that?
2010 or 11. And there's been many, many experiences, like when we've come home from holiday, we've got a taxi, and normally the taxi driver's usually a Turk, Romanian, or a foreigner.
Yeah.
The one time we got an Austrian, I'm telling you, when my husband stood aside and said, I'm with my wife and kids, the man looked at us and he walked away. Normally the taxi drivers take your luggage.
He didn't want to drive you.
No.
Take you.
Yeah, no. He walked away. And my husband went after him, and I said to my husband, did you see that? I was like, I've never had that reaction from any taxi driver. But the moment I get an Austrian, that's the behaviour. And I purposely didn't speak because I didn't want him to know that I'm English.
Right.
I waited till we got home, and the kids had fallen asleep in the car. And as we were getting out, I made sure the man heard me. And I said to my husband, you do not give him any tip. Kein Trinkgeld für diese Scheiße hier.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck that shit.
How did your husband react?
He head down, go.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but my husband knows. Put your head down and get the fuck out. When I start kicking off, you either support me or you better run, because I'm not going to shut my mouth.
Love it. Love it. What's your name? Nah, you don't want to...
No,
you
don't want to
tell it? That's fair enough. Okay, let me ask you just one last question. Do you have, like... Because I have some sort of a little... series in here.
Yeah.
And I ask people for their life hack, their like number one life hack. Would you be willing to share one?
I don't know if it's a life hack.
Wait a second, I have a jingle for that.
Okay, I would say be true to yourself and your conscience.
That's it.
And if you ever come across me, if I feel your truth isn't the truth, be sure I will give you the goddamn fucking truth.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
You too.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Danke, wie auch immer du heißt, für dieses Gespräch. Mir hat's echt nochmal ein paar Perspektiven aufgezeigt, die ich einfach nicht ständig parat habe, weil ich nicht irgendwelchen Anfeindungen oder Ausgrenzungen ausgesetzt bin. Und vielleicht habt ihr da draußen ja auch ein, zwei Gedanken zu dem Thema. Wie schon gesagt, teilt sie gerne in den Kommentaren oder schreibt mir direkt. Wenn euch das Gespräch auch etwas gebracht hat und ihr das Gefühl habt, andere sollten sie hören, teilt die Folge gern oder empfehlt sie weiter. Und ich wünsche euch natürlich wie immer, dass ihr auch mal irgendwo, irgendwann mit einer fremden Person einen Plausch führt. Bis ganz bald.